welcome to the Self-Help Podcast, a weekly no-nonsense guide dedicated to your emotional health and well-being. Presented by entrepreneur Edward Lamb and psychotherapist Sean Orford. For more information, visit liveinthepresent.co.uk.
Okay, here we go. Hello, welcome to episode 387 of the Self-Help Podcast with me, Ed Lamb, and my good pal Sean Orford. How are you, Sean?
I am stunning.
Have you ever seen or heard a podcast done with where someone's wearing a face covering?
You look like a criminal. You know, like you've just ridden into town on a horse and you're a bandit.
Yeah, I'm not sure if this one will end up on YouTube or not. You never know. I'm in a kind of a public area of my office building, which I've come into today just to kind of check the posts and stuff. And I've got to wear a face covering when I'm out of my office. So there we go. Life could be worse though, hey?
How many people in lockdown will be wearing a mask on a podcast anyway? There must be loads of them.
Probably, yeah. It depends where they are and what country and what the regulations are and what have you. But yeah. I've just ordered a couple of roaming microphones. I've got another podcast that I'm doing, and I was thinking me and you as well could go for little walk and talks where we clip on a microphone and get some exercise and discuss things out in there. Yeah. In nature, eh? What do you reckon?
Yeah. In the real world. Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah. And because we're back into that sort of severe lockdown again, to actually be able to get out. Rhi and I were saying that we did more walking and more exercising in the last lockdown than we did in between.
Yeah.
So maybe it will jolt us again into doing more out there stuff.
You know? Maybe it will. We'll talk about that today. We're talking about looking on the bright side and kind of trying to find the positives in a slightly negative, potentially negative world at the moment. So we'll come on to that in a bit. Yeah. Liveinthepresent.co.uk for all the show notes and links as ever. Do get in touch if there's anything you'd like us to talk about in an upcoming episode. What's up with you then, Sean? How's life going? And
what's going on in my life? My son has moved out into a house. He just bought a house. So we have our house back to the two of us, which will be an interesting experience and fun.
Be eerily quiet, is it?
Yeah, it's weird. It's weird how, I mean, Robert, school teacher, loads of work to do, preparation done, football fanatic. You know what I mean? So life very busy in the house, and suddenly it's gone quiet. It's gone nice and chilled and quiet, which is a bit kind of weird, really.
Yeah.
But nice. It's like being on holiday, but not.
You didn't shed a tear when he moved, because he's moved out before and then moved back in, so you weren't in tears or anything like that. We're quite happy for him to go.
I just couldn't need to pack all this stuff up and make sure it's gone. No. I mean, it's one of those double-edged things, isn't it, where you both miss somebody, but also you appreciate the peace and quiet once they've gone, kind of thing. It's the two sides. So. But I mean, he hasn't gone that far away, so we'll see loads of him.
So, you'll see.
Once the lockdown is over. Yeah.
Yes, which it will be probably at some point. I mean, for those listening abroad, overseas, you know, so the UK and plenty of other countries actually in Europe have kind of toughened the restrictions. So in the UK, from the day this podcast gets published on Thursday, lots of businesses are closing down. Schools are still going, but non-essential businesses are going to shut and we're all going to be ordered to stay at home for 4 weeks.
There seems to be quite a lot of pressure on people that we should be shutting schools as well. Have you picked up that?
I have. Yeah, my wife's a teacher, so she's not pushing it for herself, to be honest, I think there's quite a lot of the union stuff and some of the higher up decision makers are saying that if you want it to be effective and you want to stop the spread, then schools, you should really think about shutting schools as well.
Yeah.
I think it probably will reach that point. I think 4 weeks isn't a long time to impact this virus, is it? It's not going to, doesn't seem like they're right long enough to have an impact on that curve that's going upward trajectory at the moment.
Yeah, and the input that I've got in the local hospitals, the feedback I'm getting is that it is getting pretty desperate out there again.
Yeah. You know? they focused on Liverpool, the Royal last night on BBC News, and it looks
right.
I think Liverpool's the worst hit place, in one of the worst in the world at the moment in terms of infection rates, I think. Although it has dropped off in the last week, I believe.
Yeah.
But it's fun times, isn't it, man, on planet Earth?
One of the problems is that when the infection rate drops off, you're still picking up on what was happening 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, which is feeding through into the system. So it may appear to be dropping off, but the hospitalization and even the death rate will keep climbing for a while.
It takes 2 or 3 weeks for anything you do to kind of have a knock-on effect on the statistics, doesn't it, seemingly? So it's all part of the magic of this particular virus. It's just it's really got us boxed in, hasn't it?
But that, it's interesting, is that kind of 2-3 week thing, because that's what we say when you're trying to change your mood. It takes you like 2-4 weeks to get your brain circuits working, to get your attitudes to be different.
It is actually 60-day stuff, isn't it, that we talk about quite a lot.
Yeah. And because we're back into a month lockdown, it's a month that we could be using productively and effectively to create difference for ourselves. Mm-hmm. If we're focused, that's the thing.
Yeah, well, that's what we're talking about today, really, isn't it? Because, like it or lump it, things are changing in the UK now, and we've talked about it a lot in recent weeks. Mm-hmm. This is going to be a funny, strange old winter, and mm-hmm. we have the choice, don't we, personally, to kind of embrace it and make the most of the next 6 months, or we have the choice to kind of bury our heads in the sand and just wish 6 months of our lives away, or a year, even if you start back in March. So, what you've got a blog post about this, Sean. What are your initial tips on kind of?
I've called this "Let's look on the bright side." You know, let's look on the bright side of life. And it's like we have to drag ourselves out of this miserable place. I mean, I've said over the last few episodes, you know. It's like people are hitting bottom at the moment, and going back in to lockdown is hitting people hard. But we have to use our own internal emotional resources to drag ourselves out of this. We just cannot allow ourselves to go down in it and become progressively more miserable. We've got to start being positive, you know. And so much of that is a choice. It is a choice. Yeah.
So.
One of the things is, and I've played with it a bit in the podcast, but it's like in the blog, but it's like people say things to me like, well, it couldn't get any worse. And I'm thinking, don't say that, because it could.
Yeah? And it will.
And it will, yeah. But it's the other way of looking at it is, well, it's not as bad as it could have been, you know, which is one step higher than, you know, it couldn't get any worse, isn't it? And it's like, you know, okay. Life's tough. I walked past a guy on the street, and it was cold. It was miserable. And I'm thinking, even if this guy's got a fiver, you know, everybody's going to close for him to go and spend it, you know. And I think I've got problems.
Yeah.
You know, it's like we're warm, we're fed, we're clothed, we live in a very rich country. Yes, there's people that need our support, but let's look after each other. You know, but let's get positive. Let's get into this happy kind of, woo, come on. You know?
Yeah, we've talked in the past on the show, like, is there a general idea in Britain or in the UK that to look on the negative side rather than be kind of attempt to be positive, like in a kind of Americanized style, woo, let's go. Or what do you find when you're working with people?
I find that people tend towards the negative. They have lots of justification for that. And we can look at it in terms of that idea we've looked at about that focusing on the negatives kept people safe, you know, the negative bias kind of thing. But British people do tend to see anyone who is positive, as in, woo, hey, come on, as being a bit up their own backside, rather than, you know, that's, oh, it's tough, isn't it? It's difficult, well. You know, and it's getting that happy head on and looking at the world like it's okay. It's good. It's good. Yeah. And if we're still breathing tomorrow, then we're ahead of the game.
Yeah. I mean, I kind of appreciate and love that British sense of humour that is a bit more on the downbeat side. But when you're working with Brits, and I know you work with people from, you know, right around the world, when you're working with British people, do you have a trick or a set of tricks that you kind of coax joy out of us or them? Or
well, I try and get people playing the I'm So Happy and Grateful game is my big one. It is funny when you get people into it because they do start laughing. So if I say, I'm so happy and grateful now that kind of thing, then I'm starting to lift my mood, yeah, because I'm actually saying things that I could hear. If yeah. I'm saying, I'm so miserable, and I say that and I hear it and I just reinforce the negative. So if I start saying positive things, so I can say, I'm so happy and grateful now that. So what am I going to say next? So I play the rhyming game. So I will play things like, I'm fit and I'm healthy, I'm rich and I'm wealthy. Yeah, let's make them rhyme. Come on, yeah?
Yeah.
And I'll say this out loud to myself in the car, and I get myself laughing, you know. But they always have to rhyme. So I'll fight to find a rhyme. So if I say, I'm slim and I'm sexy, I'm supple and I'm flexy, you know, it's that kind of thing. How can we start to lift our mood up? And you can play it with each other. Yeah, just those kind of a stupid kind of game, but it's like it makes people laugh.
Mm. Yeah, it was kind of.
I was going to say it's like the roses are red game. You know, it's off with roses are red, and then we take it in turns to fill the lines in to make up the verse. You know?
Okay, cool.
So if you say roses are red, violets are blue, sugar and so are you. When I asked Robert to do that, he said, roses are red, I love you to bits, lift up your shirt and show me your other bits. Yeah. Yeah, now see, that made you laugh, didn't it? No,
it did. What do you know? I mean, yeah, I was thinking just in a week, actually, that so much of my life, like, just through media that I consume, generally like television, you know, when I was in my teens and in my 20s, I used to watch a lot of comedy on telly, you know, whether it be The Simpsons, which I started to watch again recently, actually, with one of my lads, or Alan Partridge, or The Fast Show, even Seinfeld, get some American stuff in there. I used to watch a lot, and me and Bethan used to, of comedy, and Harry Enfield and Chums, remember that?
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, so every night I would have half an hour, an hour of comedy on telly, which would have me absolutely, you know, howling with laughter. And the TV and the media I consume now tends not to be that. I don't, for some reason, we don't watch much comedy. It tends to be like serial killer box sets, which I enjoy immensely, you know, and I they're addictive, aren't they? But there's not that much like laughter in the stuff I consume. So I don't know if that's something that's been replicated across millions of other people at the same time in the last 10, 15 years.
But maybe we are focusing on the negative, yeah? I was talking to a guy earlier on today in the American factory, and he was saying to me, have you ever heard of Forces TV? Forces as in Armed Forces TV.
Oh, right, okay, no.
Apparently, it's quite... I haven't found it, I need to go and look for it. It's on Freeview. You can scroll down and you get to Forces TV. And they're rerunning all the old comedy shows.
Ah. Let me have a look. Forces TV, Freeview. Yeah. What do you mean, like only Fools and Horses, that kind of thing, or what?
All kinds of stuff, apparently.
I'll put the link in the show notes. I've found it. Channel number 96 on Freeview, if you're able.
96, okay.
Right. Combines classic military and action-themed drama, sci-fi, comedy with factual and news programmes about the fantastic work of the British Armed Forces. Wow, that's interesting.
I'd never even heard of it before.
No? Oh, wow. Do you remember Nicholas Lyndhurst travelling through time in Goodnight, Sweetheart? I remember that.
Yeah.
I was probably 18, 19 when that, or a bit younger maybe, when that was on. I used to watch that every week. That was really cool, that.
Yeah, yeah. But he was saying to me, it's really great that they're rerunning, because he was saying, because we were talking about this very thing about, you know, being negative. And he was saying, oh, no, I go on to Forces TV and have a good laugh. There's usually some good old-fashioned comedies on there that made me laugh.
Were you talking about you working in an American business there then? So do you have what's the setup in there? And is it an American system of employee kind of relations and mental health, well-being?
Yeah, and they are very, very positive. And that's all that stuff about we don't have problems, we have learning opportunities kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And they really, really don't like anybody getting negative. They work really hard to get them positive. Yeah. And they see that as when people get negative, then they make more mistakes, their productivity goes down, all that kind of stuff. Whereas if people are positive and really feeling it, then productivity goes up, the customers are happy, you know, so all that kind of stuff, it works together. Yeah. So they work quite hard to keep everyone's mood up, which I mean, when you go into somewhere like the NHS where people are working hard to keep the mood up, but they're just getting overwhelmed again,
yeah.
You know, and you have to work really, really hard to keep your mood up when you're in that kind of situation. You know?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's all very well me being flippant about telling people to go and watch a bit of Seinfeld in the evening to keep the mood up. But yeah, I mean, the news report last night for about the hospital in Liverpool.
Yeah.
It's quite intense, to be honest. And I assume it was kind of deliberately so, because just to kind of get the message out there to the general public that this is it's quite serious stuff at the heart of it. So it's, yeah, there is a time for kind of serious, you know, get your shit together people, isn't there? Mm-hmm. And there's also a time for good night, sweetheart, as well, every now and again.
Yeah. I mean, the doctors are saying to me that wouldn't it be good if we actually film what's going on here, really? Not sanitise it, actually film what's going on so people could see it, because they might actually then respect the virus more and do something about it.
Yeah, I assume that was what it was, because actually it did an interview with a Scouser, who late 60s, I think, and he was in intensive care, and he was the only patient in intensive care that was able to talk. He spoke quite eloquently about, you know, how the virus has hit him and, you know, how seriously people need to take it, you know, and he had this weird kind of protective bubble thing over his head.
Oh, yeah, a bubble mask, yeah.
Amazing, actually. So, I assume they were quite, in some ways, glad that they found someone that could talk to them about how he's feeling right now and what he's been through, just to kind of get that message across.
And was it that the other people in the intensive care unit were so ill that they couldn't talk? Is that
I mean, to be fair, it's finding anyone in intensive care that can string a sentence together is probably quite tricky, isn't it?
Yeah, most of them will have respirators on and stuff like that, I expect.
Crazy stuff. But coming back to the good stuff, I mean, just in general, you know, for life in general. Mm. Yeah, I mean, why do we kind of lean towards the negative so easily? You know, is it an addictive habit to fall into?
I think it is just a human habit. But the thing is that if we wake up and stay conscious to it, it's like we can start to change it, but you've got to focus on. And that's the thing about, you know, we have to drag our heads out of the negativity and start getting into a bit of positive. And positivity is gratitude. You know, they all run together. You know, once you start to reinforce the positive, you can build things.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like the fact that we're still breathing, you know, the fact that we are alive, you know, we've got a home to go to and a bed to sleep in, is something that we need to have a lot of gratitude about.
Yeah.
And be happy for, you know, and that's the start. You know, it's like if you are with the family, sit down and eat together, you know, laugh together, talk together, start to share things together and build some positive and play games with each other, like the Roses Are Red game, whatever it is, you know, play it and start to enjoy some happy time together. Because what do we do at Christmas? You know, people will play games at Christmas. Well, maybe we need to be playing games now.
Yeah, well, you know, we're, as a family, we're kind of, you know, we've accepted that Christmas this year is likely to be very, very different to what we're used to, the chaos and the mayhem of a house full of people having fun and drinking and all that. But we're quite looking forward to it, a different kind of Christmas, you know, hoping that it's a one-off, I guess. But we're quite looking forward to a cozy little Grimbo with just the four of us and, you know, get some Christmas pyjamas on the go, and we'll still drink and eat, and we'll watch a movie or two and just enjoy each other's company, you know, hopefully.
Well, one of the statistics that made me laugh was Primark said they've had a massive rush on pyjamas. and they say it's reflecting the fact that we're going back into lockdown, and describes how people will be going on. Because at Christmas, if you've got no one coming around, do you need to actually get dressed? You can just keep your pyjamas on all day.
I bought some smart-ish shoes, you know, 6 months ago, because they were on sale, and they're a brand of shoe that I like, and they'll last me a long time and all that.
Yeah.
And I wore them for the first time over the weekend when we went for a meal, because I felt like I should, you know, get dressed up. Do I need these smart shoes and all this attire at the moment? Probably not. A lot of clothes are just not getting worn at the moment, but they'll still be there when I need them, I'm sure.
Yeah.
So what's your resource of the week then, Sean?
Well, I suggest it in the blog here. I'm going back to our mindfulness toolkit on the website, and use the tools there. There is the tool, which is the morning focus, which is when you are negative, go and listen to it and get your head on the right way around. Create a bit of positive in your head.
Yeah.
No, and go and have a positive day. Stop rehearsing the negative.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right.
Positive.
I shall link to that in the show notes. And I'm linking to a movie called Life is Beautiful, which is, I think I might have mentioned it a couple of times over the years, but Italian movie from the 90s. And if you're looking for something to inspire you to look on the bright side, then you've got to see it. It's a really moving, it's quite a funny movie in places, but the backdrop is the Holocaust, and it's about this Jewish Italian family who the father has to take their son, who's about 6 or 7, into a concentration camp. And rather than kind of be down about it, he kind of turns it into a bit of a game for the son, so that the son doesn't realize the horror of what's going on. It's a comedy, but obviously a bit sweet. And I'm telling you, if you haven't seen it, it's one of the greatest film. It did win the Oscar for best foreign language movie. But yeah, just you've got to find a copy somewhere, everyone, and just
will it be on then some of the Netflix things or something like that, do you think?
Yeah, I don't think it is at the moment, that I've found. Just hunt around for a copy somewhere, or maybe even, I'm not sure, DVD shops are open right now, but you'll find it somewhere, or off the back of a lorry. You just got to hunt it down and find it.
I'm going to say, do DVD shops still exist?
No, but Amazon Prime. You can probably rent it on Amazon Prime, I would have thought, for a few quid.
Yeah. We'll have to find it, see what we can do.
Yeah, I'm telling you, you got it. Yeah. All right. We all done? You happy, Sean?
Yeah, okay, I'm good.
Right.
Keep smiling, be positive.
I am smiling under here, honestly.
In the next episode, you have to give us your version of Roses Are Red.
Right, okay. I'll have a think. I'll get something witty and snappy that, yeah. Not rude at all.
Not rude. Right. Good
to chat to you, Sean. You take it easy. See you next week.
You take care. See ya.
See you later. Bye, everyone. Bye.